This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It was meant to be just another night out, drinks, dancing, drag queens, queer joy, but in the early hours of the 7th of August 1994, the Tasty Nightclub was raided by police. Patrons, many of them rainbow community, were detained, humiliated and strip searched. It's a night that would spark national outrage, political change and ultimately be ruled unlawful. Now, 31 years on, the people who were there are marking the anniversary in the most powerful way possible. Gavin, Jared and Jono from Tasty, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Let's go back to the start. What made Tasty such a unique and iconic queer club in the 90s?
It was very underground, very alternative, really.
I think we were doing a few clubs at the time for straight people. I had clubs in the 80s, and then by the time the 90s were going, Jared and Jono were still working with me on the clubs and stuff. And Tasty was the first like queer club we'd actually done. So there was an interest because we had a big reputation around town. So we targeted this one directly at the gays, and they all came along. And it's fairly underground, the music, alternative to the Euro, Italo kind of, even the trance that was being played in a lot of the clubs, or just the fluffy handbag that you would get at the Peel. So Tasty,
the fluffy handbag.
Not that there's anything wrong with the Peel.
I mean, I dig the Peel and the DJs there and stuff, but it was a very, very, very commercial, fluffy vibe musically in all the other clubs. So Tasty was alternative and upfront, and that's why we just had a lot of really cool people. Plus, of course, we had that play area, the grope maze in the basement.
That was downstairs.
Yes, and that attracted lots of
people. Started that trend, and that's everywhere now. But, you know, Tasty was the leader of the pack in the little grope maze, which, excited
everyone. Yeah, that was unique, wasn't it, to Tasty. In licensed venues, sex on premises wasn't really allowed at all, but we had a loophole because it was the Commerce Club, an old-fashioned members and guests license. And, you know, if you went into Tasty, you had to sign in signed in.
Members only.
So that we could work with such a liquor license.
Which made it really exclusive as well, gave that exclusivity, entering down a back laneway, having to, you know, step over, you know, garbage to get there pretty much, and a CD sort of entry.
A rear entry was always popular.
Remember about it is going there and there was such a mix of people. And I always found it quite welcoming, a really welcoming crowd. I wasn't there the night of the raid, but I certainly did attend Tasty Nightclub. And it was friendly.
That was the interesting thing about Tasty. It was a queer club, but everyone who went was actually queer-minded. So they were like in fashion, or they were just like looking for a night out, or they were fun club people. So it was the alternative to other clubs the queer attitude. So
now, you mentioned that there was a special license that enabled you, for example, to have the basement operating.
Yeah.
What was the police's attitude towards the club? Did they know about that?
Well, the police, I have to be careful what I say, because the police were informed by people that were not very nice about Tasty existing and particularly about the grope maze. And so what happened was cops came in and looked around the club
and went downstairs and enjoyed and themselves.
Well, they went downstairs.
They flipped out, didn't they?
Yeah.
This is not the raid. This is in the weeks leading up to the raid. They came in and did reconnaissance.
Yeah.
And they were.
Did you know they were there?
Yes. Yeah.
They introduced themselves at the door. I was working there, and the girl, little Kim, would take them downstairs on a guided tour, and they would leave quite white-faced with what they'd seen downstairs.
Jared was actually the manager from our promotions company of Tasty, so everything kind of went through Jared, particularly at the raid on the night, which is why Jared's so good to have talking about it, because he was actually dealing with the cops and seeing the whole thing play out. But they did not like. We had hardcore porn playing in the grope maze as you walked into the foyer, and then you could slip off into little dark dark hallways.
Cubicles.
Were they in uniform, the police? Yes,
yeah. So the thing, at the time, Crown Casino hadn't actually opened across the road, and so that was directly opposite where Tasty was. So they were quite concerned about any club that didn't actually fit the guideline of a known club. Yeah. And back in the day, the security were actually ex-police that would work on the door, but we didn't have ex-police on the door. We had our own police, didn't we? Our own security that worked for the Prince
of Wales. We used to handpick people, didn't we? Yeah. We liked to know the security so that we could do it and trust them too. We did have an issue. Oh, no, that was afterwards at the because we moved to Wall Street to do monthlies after that. Anyway, sorry.
we're chatting with Gavin, Jared and Jono from Tasty. We're talking about, I suppose, the lead up to the raid at this point in time. Before the raid happened, so you had the police come, they did their reconnaissance, they went downstairs to the maze and had a look and came up white-faced.
Yep.
What happened after that? What tone was set with the relationship, I suppose, between the club and the police once that happened?
Well, we were a little concerned at the white face, basically, because there'd been strong rumours for months that they were going to actually raid Tasty. And they'd been, maybe for 18 months prior to the Tasty raid, there was this thing the police were engaging in called Operation Nightclub. And they would go around to clubs all around town and visit them every hour, a big bunch of cops. Mm-hmm. And they went through like all the King Street clubs. We had another club called Savage at the time, and sometimes they would literally be in every hour and just stand in the middle of the room. And because they were trying to quell drug use in Melbourne in general, because they didn't quite understand, you know, that was the big ecstasy boom in the early 90s, right up until about 94. We were the last club in Operation Nightclub to be taken like that. And there was precedent back in the late 1980s where the cops went to Checkpoint Charlie, which was the Market Hotel before the Market, or in between. It kept chopping and changing, didn't it? And they went into that club with just a few cops, strip searched six people and left. We thought that was going to happen at Tasty, but it was much, much, much more visceral and abusive at Tasty.
Were the clients aware that it was going to happen on the night? Was there sort of a rumour going around, but they didn't expect it to be so bad?
We actually informed them. We told that all the people who were coming in, that there was likelihood that they were going to be strip searched or police would there'd be a raid. And we told them for probably 4 or 5 weeks prior to the raid actually happening. So
which wasn't so good for business because people didn't want to be in a raid. But it was a trying to fine line to sort of warn people but not create fear about, because we didn't know if it was going to happen or not. You know,
But we did feel obliged to warn them.
Yeah,
particularly,
responsibility.
Yeah, on the day of the raid, we got an avalanche of phone calls from people that were mainly claiming to be cops who were concerned because they said it's going to be really heavy.
So there were people inside
gay
police force
and there was
that were concerned about what was going to happen.
Yes, yes. And there was even one guy that went up to our security person, Kira, who'd worked for a long time at Tasty, and he whispered to her, "I'm a cop. I need to get out of here."
Oh, wow.
He was a patron, and so she snuck him out.
Mm. Oh, wow. So you mentioned, Jono, that it wasn't good for patronage, I can imagine, because people wouldn't want to be involved in a raid. What happened after the raid?
Well, of course, it was devastating for the reputation of the club. I mean, there were 467 people who were not just detained for hours on end, but strip searched and, you know, humiliated. That wasn't a good night out for any of them. And then the club itself basically ground to a halt.
It did. We moved to being a monthly club. There was only two more weeks at Commerce because no one showed up. It was tumbleweeds. Mm. So then we went to this venue called Wall Street, which later became Hi-Fi Bar.
Yeah.
Bands. And that was quite a big venue, so it was like
Matt Watts or now, Max Watts or something.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Anyway, so that was fun, and that went for about maybe six or seven parties. But Tasty, it kind of lost its luster.
Hmm. How did that impact you all personally afterwards? I mean, it's a horrible thing for the community to have gone through, but as you being the business itself.
Well, Razor Promotions was running like five different nights. It was the pinnacle of like the best nightclub nights in Melbourne. And then it kind of, yeah, did put a big dent in that, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Well, for me, I got quite depressed, to be honest, because I'd lost, you know, Tasty was wild. Mm. It was flying high. Mm. And
it was just people having fun.
It was such a great little thing.
It was.
Mm. And so to lose that was really quite devastating. A lot of other people didn't take it like that because, you know, they just lost somewhere to go and dance. But I lost a business. Mm. But anyway, we then went on to create a club called Uranus, which was Sunday mornings, late Saturday night. Sunday
Based on morning. A fascination of the planets.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
You know, Uranus is right out there and so was the club.
That opened at 11 or 12?
No, it opened at 4 in the morning.
Oh, 4 in the morning.
And went through till, you know, more after midday.
Because I managed it.
You were managing that club too.
I can't remember. I got there at 4.
If you can remember.
Oh, you weren't really there.
You weren't there. Because Uranus was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Mm. When we talk about it now, we're joined with by Gavin, Jared and Jono from Tasty Nightclub. 467, wasn't it? People were strip searched. Even now, it's still shocking to hear.
Isn't it?
That happened. It's 31 years we're talking, aren't we?
31 years ago
that it happened. As I read that now, 467 people. I suppose someone who went there, I wasn't involved. It still shocks me. How does it, when you hear it, what do you think now?
Well, I still feel the same, but I was born in 1960. Mm. So I was used to growing up feeling closeted and a bit strange about being gay. So even in the 90s when we were doing it, and let's face it, it was a very naughty club. There was a lot of debauchery going on in that club, lots of wild fun. So I didn't think that we deserved it or anything like that, but it's
a lot wilder things going on now in some of the parties I've been to.
No, I know, but back then that was really weird. That was an anomaly. Yeah. What was going on at Tasty wasn't going on in other clubs. Let's just put it that way.
But it's paved the way for the club, the parties now that are even more debauched, let's face it.
Yeah, for sure. But it was a bit ahead of its time in terms of the grope maze downstairs, the music policy, and just the attitude. You know, there were people that would come to Tasty and walk around with no clothes on. You know, they'd just cloak their everything. I mean, I know that's...
Just like here at Joy.
Exactly. We are like we are at the moment.
Normal now.
When you go to Trough and Barbie, you'll see that these days. But back then, that was...
Yeah, if you've got clothes on, you look a bit weird.
But do you think, I suppose, apart from the horrible experience that the patrons had that night, in terms of Tasty as a whole and a legacy that it's left, do you think it did pave the way for the clubs and the freedom that we have now?
Definitely.
I think most definitely. And I think at the time, that was the surprising thing, the amount of support we got. Mm. Like from my point of view, seeing it on the paper and the fact that the press, that the public supported
the front page all around the world.
People's rights. Yeah. It was empowering.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was, because we were such an underground club and being, you know, a gay person, you think you should be in an underground club, but then you do have rights as well. And the fact that our rights were abused and we were so well supported, I thought that was quite powerful.
That was a good thing about it. Otherwise, I probably would have.
And I think that's why we're celebrating it again. Because I do feel that. I actually feel
and
that.
And the police have really backed off. Like back in the olden days when you go to a nightclub, you'd see police, as you say, coming through all the time. Like you never see a group of police walking through a nightclub anymore.
Particularly in Victoria, you wouldn't do anything. In Sydney,
straight
maybe.
Clubs, or definitely not gay clubs. Like they used to do all of them, but now it's like you don't see them. You have fun and you're not intimidated by this big wall of police every few hours, which used to be the norm.
Yeah.
But since Tasty, no more.
Having a Tasty at raid anniversary is, it's like empowering. Mm. It's like taking it back and being visible like this, it does ensure that it's not really going to happen again.
Well, a lot of the new generation didn't even know that it happened until we did the party last year. So a lot of the you know, people that go out partying now weren't even born yet and they're learning it for the first time. You know?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, the amount of people that want to actually know. Because I think there was a period of probably 10 years maybe where people just didn't, they got on with their lives. Mm. And then, but the new generation who are partying are so interested. They want to make films about it or work at Tasty or come and celebrate the fact that they've got rights. Like knowing a bit about your gay history is good. Like it's a thing, a lesson you kind of have to learn.
I feel like that's quite comforting to hear for a lot of people, because I feel like there's certain parts of our history that we are forgetting about.
Yeah.
So we're not forgetting about that. We're celebrating it. Do you get a lot of original people coming along went to the... Yeah.
Yes.
And you've spoken... 18 to 80 is...
which I love.
It's the age group.
And you've spoken about young people coming as well.
Yeah.
And we had Chapel Rome play before, which is a taste of some of the music that you'll hear there.
Yep.
But you also hear some of the old stuff as well.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We're going to go back... Yeah, there's a lot of great old Tasty hits that are well worth remembering. So we mix it up. I do a long DJ set with Peter McNamara.
Oh, fantastic.
And Pete was an original Tasty DJ too. So we actually know how to combine the old with the new for Tasty in particular. It's a lot of fun.
Mm, the music is fantastic. I mean, Tasty was the best music, and the party does emulate that. But old and new, you know.
And it's even interesting that people that go out and club sort of dressed like we did in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit of a fetish vibe to it. Like, and that's back in trend, on trend again. So that's what we filled the club with again last time.
It's in the windows of Maya. It's fantastic. Yeah. Oh,
and the new generation.
Good point.
The new generation at the last party were like, I've never been to be a party like this. And I'm like, oh, this is just a normal weekend for us in the 90s. This is like every night we went out.
Yeah,
this is just a completely different party to what I've ever been to before in my whole lifetime. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this was normal for us.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, it's Friday the 9th of August, so let's all get our calendars out now. Mark the date in. It's Tasty Club 1994. Where do we get information? Where do we get tickets? What do we do?
Well, we on Facebook, we have a page called Tasty Raid Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the same page on Instagram. Mm. And they're probably the main two. But
yeah, there's links there to tickets, yeah.
If people want to get a ticket, just go onto Humanitics and type in Tasty Raid and it'll come up. But I would suggest... The links are on those two Tasty Raid Melbourne pages on social media.
Now, let's go out with one of the tracks. This is one of my favourite tracks that I would associate with Tasty. Tell us about this.
Well, this reminds me actually of Spinning on the Dance Floor back in the 90s.
Spinning, that's what we did. Out of my way.
Shove them out of the way, because you get to the middle of the dance floor. Anyway, this song is one of my all-time favourites, which actually sets the tone for Tasty, which is It's Happening All Over Again by Lonnie Gordon.
Love it. Jono, Jared and Gavin, thank you so much for coming
in.
Really appreciate it. I can't wait to see it. Friday the 9th of August in Melbourne. It's a bold, fabulous celebration of queer resistance and club culture.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Queer pride.
And for tickets, check out Humanitics or look up Tasty Raid Melbourne on Facebook and Instagram.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.